Lau, do we have anyone wishing to address the commission today?
I was muted. Sorry, I did not receive anything in advance. Let's see if we have any hands raised. Nope, at this time it doesn't look as if anyone wishes to address the commission.
Okay, thank you. I will now call to the audience, Mr. Lau, the next item. I'll close that call to the audience, the next item.
Thank you. Sorry, next on the agenda is council liaison comments.
Okay, Mr. Solomon, do you have anything to report today?
Well, no, thank you. Leanne had requested that I do a budget update, but we have not received a draft budget yet from our management team. So I'm sure we'll have that next month. And either myself or Leanne will be happy to present that. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Solomon. Mr. Lau, the next item.
Next on the agenda is presentations. Presentation item number one is Visit Tucson presentation on management plan for the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Delaman, who is reporting on this item?
I have to look. Do we have the Tucson, the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area? Could you please raise your hand and I'll look in my email.
I see the hand raised, Vanessa.
There we go. Her name is Vanessa. That's correct.
One second.
There she is.
Thank you. I was unable to unmute myself.
All right. You're all set now.
All right. Thank you. And Lynanne, are you pulling up the presentation?
No, actually, that is Brandon, and he will do that right now.
Okay, great.
And he also will advance it.
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you for setting this up. And thank you to the commission for giving me about 10 minutes to give you a very quick update on the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area. My goal with this presentation is to just give you a quick overview of what this National Heritage Area concept is. And I know there's probably a lot of questions, but hopefully this will just start some long-term dialogue with the town about the National Heritage Area and opportunities for us to collaborate on a variety of projects over the years. So the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area is actually coordinated by an independent nonprofit called the Santa Cruz Valley Heritage Alliance. And you can advance to the next slide. The mission of that nonprofit is to connect people to the cultural, historic, and natural treasures of the Santa Cruz Valley. And so this nonprofit was set up specifically to coordinate programs of the National Heritage Area and to kind of serve as a regional framework for communities throughout the Santa Cruz River Valley, organizations, municipalities, businesses, to work together towards mutually beneficial education, preservation, and promotion goals. Next slide, please. So National Heritage Areas are a program of the National Park Service, and it's an opportunity to tell America's story. So the first National Heritage Area was designated in the 1980s as a way to honor that particular region's contribution to American history. And I think an unexpected benefit from the designation that heritage areas have seen now over 40 years is the impact to economic development and heritage-based tourism. And so we're hoping that is something that we will see in this area as well. Next slide, please. As I mentioned, National Heritage Areas it's a partnership with the National Park Service. So there is federal legislation, it's the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area Act, that would designate a National Heritage Area. And once Congress makes that designation, the local coordinating entity, so in this case, the Santa Cruz Valley Heritage Alliance, works with the National Park Service to independently implement locally selected projects. And the Park Service serves as a source of financial resources, which is fantastic, but also technical support. So they're not making decisions on any activities that we do, but they're providing support for programs and projects within the National Heritage Area. And the next slide shows a map of what the area that we're talking about. So the map on the left shows the boundary of the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area. So it's essentially the watershed of the Santa Cruz River in Santa Cruz County and eastern Pima County. The eastern and western border is more or less the watershed boundary. And then you can see the straight lines are obviously political boundaries. And so again, part of this definition of National Heritage Areas by the Park Service is places where natural, cultural, historic, and recreational resources combine in nationally distinctive landscapes. And I really want to highlight the last three words there, because heritage areas are not individual sites, they're not individual historic sites, they're not units of the Park Service, but they're large-scale cultural landscapes. And the historic sites, the businesses, the cultural traditions, the natural resources that all combine in those landscapes. So on the next slide, you'll see early on when we were gathering in the early 2000s with up to 80 different stakeholder groups, part of what we did was we looked at, okay, well, what nationally distinctive story would we be telling with this heritage area? And we came up with the 10 distinctive themes or experiences that you see there. And they include a variety of natural heritage, cultural resources, and historic sites. And so this is kind of the starting point for identifying programs and projects that this heritage area would implement. On the next slide, you'll see a timeline. So this feasibility study, the first step in getting Congress to even consider a National Heritage Area is to develop a feasibility study. And so we completed that in 2005. So yes, it's taken quite a while. The first legislation, the Santa Cruz Valley National Heritage Area Act, was introduced in 2007 and was consistently introduced every session. And in 2019, it was included in the Conservation Management and Recreation Act and approved by Congress. So we've been officially a National Heritage Area now for 2 years. On the next slide, some of what we focused on, as I mentioned, these are partnerships with the National Park Service. So much of what we had to do in 2019, right off the bat, was get cooperative agreements and just kind of get all the behind the scenes paperwork established. And so last year we were really able to start some projects. The first, luckily in February, right before the pandemic hit locally, we were able to host a partnership kickoff workshop where we had more than 20 different organizations participate. And it was an opportunity to do a little bit of what I'm doing now and just give kind of a background for those organizations or individuals that weren't familiar with it, but also to hear an update and see what is Santa Cruz County focusing on right now? What is the Tubac Historical Society focusing on, et cetera, and all the different organizations that that participated. Now that we're a National Heritage Area, we had to create a logo, of course. And so that's the logo you see on the right, really trying to showcase the combination of natural and cultural resources in this region. And the piece that I really wanted to touch on is this management plan. And so we launched an 18-month project to develop a management plan for the National Heritage Area. So that enabling legislation that was approved by Congress requires that we develop a management plan within 3 years. So March of 2022 is when our management plan is due to the Secretary of the Interior. And that needs to show community support. It needs to show collaboration. It needs to show an inventory of heritage assets that can include National Register of Historic Places, National Historic Landmarks, but also cultural resources, our Pascua Yaqui and Tohono O'odham partners, things that they're working on. So on the next slide, part of that project I mentioned is a resource inventory, but a big part of it is civic engagement. And so National Heritage Areas really are partnership endeavors. And so what I'm hoping to do, today through with this presentation is just open that door with the Town of Oro Valley, with the Historic Preservation Commission, and start the dialogue about better understanding some of your priorities for you know, cultural resource protection, heritage education, heritage tourism, you know, natural resource conservation. And so part of these public workshops that we're hosting, you know, I saw Mayor Winfield is in this meeting. Part of what we're doing is meeting with elected officials, but part of what we're doing is also meeting with in small stakeholder groups to really understand, kind of get into the weeds and see what are your priorities so we can make sure that they're included in this management plan, thereby allowing us to use some federal funds to potentially support your projects down the road. And then in probably October, we'll have a full draft plan for public review. Next slide, please. So there are federal funds that come with the National Heritage Area designation. It is a dollar for dollar match. And so for the 2020 fiscal year, we were awarded $154,000 of federal funds. Typically for National Heritage Areas, the first few years, you use your federal funds to get that management plan in place. And so we're using most of the federal portion of those funds to work with consultants to develop this this management plan. And then for this current fiscal year, we just received approval of $157,000 of federal funds pending that dollar for dollar match that I mentioned. And those will support a variety of projects that if you go to the next slide, so I'll show you some of our priorities for this year. So getting this management plan completed by late November is our goal. And that'll involve, you know, hopefully connecting with this commission, with staff, with elected officials to better understand how the town of Oro Valley wants to be involved with this heritage area. To access those federal funds, we need to secure matching funds. We do need cash, obviously, to implement some things, but they can also be in-kind match. So if there's a project, for example, at Steam Pump Ranch, where maybe you have 75% of the funds secured, that the National Heritage Area could come in with perhaps that 25% of additional funding that are needed, as long as it's at least a 50-50. Some of the early action projects that we're focusing on this year, where some of that 157,000 of federal funds that I mentioned we have, are two of the early action projects on top of getting this management plan pulled together, are interpretive exhibits and heritage murals. And so I would love to do, you know, either both of those or one of those in the town of Oro Valley. You know, perhaps at Steam Pump Ranch, if there's somewhere where a heritage mural might be appropriate to tie in some of the town's history and culture. But we're talking about possibly doing a traveling National Heritage Area exhibit that, you know, if there's somewhere that Oro Valley would like to see that hosted, we would love to work with you on that. So that's a quick summary. You can go to the last slide, which is simply my contact information. I work at Visit Tucson as the Vice President of Strategic Initiatives. I serve the role of President of the Board of Directors of the Santa Cruz Valley Heritage Alliance. We have a new website up, but I really hope this can just open the door for conversation moving forward with staff and this Historic Preservation Commission about ways that we can you know, work together and help you accomplish some of your goals and priorities.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. Mr. Lau, the next item. That was a great presentation.
Yeah, thank you so much. All right, next on the agenda is consent agenda. Item number one is review and approval of the March 2nd, 2021 meeting minutes.
Do we have any discussion on the March 1, 2021 meetings minutes? Okay, I move to approve the March 1st, 2021 regular session meeting minutes. May I have a second?
I second.
Mr. Lau, the vote.
Yes, Commissioner Bozeman.
Okay, may I have the next item on the agenda, please? Oh, I got it.
Yeah, we got to get through the whole vote real quick.
Whole vote.
Yeah, sorry. Commissioner Bozeman?
Hi, yes. Can you hear me now?
We can, yep.
Okay, yes.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Honestad?
Yes.
Vice Chair Kruger?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
And Chair Beal?
Yes.
All right, we're good to go.
Okay, may I have the next item on the agenda, please?
Yes, next is regular session agenda. Regular session agenda item number one is public hearing for the purpose of historical landmark designation of the block property located at 101 West Suffolk Drive.
Okay, Ms. Donovan?
Yes, I just want to verify that we have Corel. Actually, I would like you to pronounce your name for us. Corel Block. And then the two interns that have been working with me on this, Eduardo and Chloe, if they're all present.
Yes, I see.
They can be unmuted.
Yeah, working on it real quick. I think everybody should be unmuted.
Hi, this is Corel.
Oh, good. Good. That's how I said it right.
You did. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yep, so we have everybody present. Corel, would you like to make an opening statement and explain the line item to the HBC and the public? Oops, here, let me, one second.
It's me first, Brandon.
Oh, I jumped you in line. Go ahead, Linnea.
You jumped me in line. So I just wanted to remind the HPC that it has been a long, long road that we have discussed, and Corel is well aware because she was one of the first homes I knocked on her door, but that we have discussed this idea of creating a local registry of historic places, officially called the Historic Landmark Designation. Through the assistance of the two interns or the two students that are currently working with me, we have gotten to this point. And so it's very, very exciting. I'm hoping that all of the commissioners had the opportunity to read the application, but mostly the paperwork that was all turned in as part of the application process. She did meet, she with the help of the two interns, did meet all the requirements for everything that is on the checklist that was created by an earlier commission. So if anybody has any questions, they can go ahead and ask those now as far as the paperwork, and then we'll go ahead and let the homeowner make a statement. And then I would also like to hear from the two interns because they did a lot of the preparation work, and let them go ahead and talk about, you know, how they figured out which home design it was, which is also in this paperwork, and any other comments that they might like to make. But we'll go ahead and let Corel make the homeowner statement, and then we'll go on to the two interns and have them talk about the process they went through.
Thank you. First off, I was born and raised in Tucson, as was my husband. And we all grew up somewhat on the east side, and there were homes in Indian Ridge that when I was younger that I would go into and just be like, in love with the homes because of the exposed adobe. And so it was such a joy to be able to find almost the exact home that was in Indian Ridge here in Oro Valley about 20 years ago when I purchased it. It's there's something magical about these homes. There's a lot of art to them. The exposed adobe that is the burnt adobe, the actual kiln dried, and then the terrazzo on the floor. It's just one of a kind. And, you know, I think that these homes should be recognized, especially for Oro Valley, because there's so many multiple developments. Not only being it in being Suffolk Hills, you know, you have the history of the Suffolk Hills and the Duchess of, I believe it was the Duchess that lived here, with the Westward Look behind us, the Catalinas behind us. There's a lot of magic to it, I'd say. So I guess that's, you want to say anything? No. I just would hope that you guys would recognize that this area in itself. I remember coming out to the Casas Adobes, and it was such a long drive when I was young to come out here, and the development that you've done, just to recognize these homes and their historic value, and the architect of the Lust building.
Yeah, and just to clarify really quickly, as she's talking about the Indian Ridge, those are also Lusk homes. So the architect on these homes is Lusk. And I'll go ahead and let the two interns, they can talk a little bit about their research into Lusk. I know that I have received a couple very positive comments from the homeowners in Suffolk Hills because of the Lusk Corporation and their, you know, they were notable developer of mid-century homes. But before I give it all away, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Eduardo and Chloe.
I'm not sure who would like to speak. The process for trying to get these houses onto the historical register began around late January. We started to, our first assignment really was to try to determine which houses in the neighborhood of Suffolk Hills would qualify based on an ordinance for local historic preservation or to get onto the historical register. And for much of February, we tried to gather as many homes as possible. And at the end, we finally contact Corral. She was still interested even after a few years after being notified that her house is eligible for historic preservation or to get onto the historical register. And from there, we began the application process. This is the first time that I and my partner, Chloe, try to create an application like this. We weren't exactly sure what the commission would expect, but we try to be as informative as possible, gather as much historical background, both on Lusk, the Suffolk Hills, the type of architecture that Ms. Block's house is modeled off of. And we just hope that, we hope we've done a satisfactory job on that. I don't know if my partner Chloe has anything more to add to that.
Yes, nice to see everybody again. I hope you're all well. I just wanted to add a little bit to that, in that kind of echoing what Linnean was saying about the neighborhood being really excited. I want to thank Miss Linda Snow, who is here. She's the president, I think, of the HOA in the neighborhood, and she was a wonderful asset throughout this process, providing a lot of insight and additional information and kind of that local perspective on what is so valuable about this neighborhood. And I also wanted to note that Carell had some incredible documentation that y'all probably see on the application, which was really spectacular to see just because there is such a wide range of evidence and details about the home that I'm not sure how many other homes have this content. And yeah, that's what I got it. Is an exciting home. It's a beautiful home. There's a lot of good documentation, and I'm super excited that we're having this meeting today.
This was the original home that I used in some of my early presentations to the HPC. So for those commissioners that have been around for a while, it's got the neat angles, really steep angles, and it's just gorgeous. But anyways, Brandon, if you want to go ahead and take us to the next step.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, everybody who spoke. So next would be Chair Beal. You're up to open the public hearing.
Okay. So the commissioner meeting is now in a public hearing, and at this time, the public may address the commission Now, once the public hearing has been closed, there'll be no further verbal written input shall be taken.
Great. And then I'll just give a quick spiel before we get to that. So for all of you who don't know how to participate in Zoom by now, remember you can raise your hand at the bottom of the screen. If you're calling in, you can hit *9 and you're welcome to address the commission. We'll have the same 3-minute timer that we would during the normal call to the audience. And if you could state whether you're a resident or not, that would be great. So now is your turn to participate. All right. Looks like Ms. Snow has her hand raised. Give me 1 second. Ms. Snow, you should be good to go.
Hi. Very good. Hi there, everybody.
Good evening.
It's nice to see Lynn Ann again. It was a really nice meeting with you. And Chloe and Edgardo, thank you so much for everything you've done for Suffolk Hills. We're, you know, I want to say an old community, but our development is from the 50s and 60s. Suffolk Hills Property Owners Association got started in 67. So a lot of our homes are, some of our homes have been renovated, but many people who live here bought their homes, live here. They really love the mid-century modern aspect. It's mature greenery, you know, all our trees, vegetation. It's just really a beautiful community to live in. And I'm really thrilled for Perel and Chuck. I went around the neighborhood with a small contingent of people who are also interested in becoming historically significant. To those of you, 84 out of 194 homes. So we don't meet the 50% or 51% threshold. But the more we learn about how, whether we're eligible, it does make people excited to maybe not renovate and do things that are more sustainable to their homes to make it, have it maintain the integrity of the Lusk home that it was originally. So I appreciate that. I did want to put a little shout out that Chloe, if not for Chloe and Edgardo, and Linnea is wonderful and so knowledgeable and helpful, but I will put out a little thing. She spread a little thin. My neighbor, Joan, had actually come to her a year ago or a year and a half, so it's probably more than that now, but had we wanted to look into doing this for our neighborhood and really didn't know where to start. And so because of the efforts of Edgardo and Chloe, you know, we really appreciate that, but I'll put in a little note. I think Linnean could use an assistant or somebody to to help her, because she really is just meeting with her. She's so knowledgeable and what an asset, but one person isn't enough for that job. So that's just a shout out for her, but thank you for doing this. We're very excited about it. Many more people are gonna apply for the historic designation. And we've been trying to accumulate, you know, what we can on home designs. And as Chloe said, and Chloe and Eduardo, I did share that with what I had with them. But I just think it's been a pleasure working with them. So thank you. Everyone in the neighborhood agrees. I haven't heard one person be opposed. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Snow. I forgot to even project the timer and you were right on time. So that was well rehearsed. I would appreciate it. Let's see if we have anybody else wishing to speak. Again, if you would like to make a comment or speak like Ms. Snow, you can raise your hand and I will call on you and you can speak. All right, Chair Beal, there doesn't seem to be any more public comment. So I believe you're clear to close the public hearing.
Okay, we will be closing the public hearing at this time. And Mr. Lau, the next item.
Before we move on to the next item, now that the public hearing is closed, it's up to you guys as a commission to discuss if you want to discuss any further, or if you guys are well satisfied, then you can make a motion to approve the designation, and then we'll go from there. So I don't know if there's any discussion amongst the commission.
Yeah, or if you have any questions for me, right. if you need to know anything about in response to any of Linda Snow's comments, or she mentioned changes to the home. In case anybody listening has any questions about what that means, it means nothing. No changes to the front facade. It doesn't mean you can't update the interior of a home. So if there was anybody who was worried about that, but if any commissioners have any questions or comments before they make a vote, they can.
This is Steve Honestad.
Hi.
Hi. First of all, as a former professor who supervised, at least 30 internships, I would like to really commend the excellent work that was done by your two interns. It is truly commendable.
I agree. Thank you so much, Commissioner Honestad.
So with that, that was the main comment I wanted to get in.
Okay. So now you just need a motion, Chair Bielke.
I'd like to make a motion that we place this property on Ural Valley Historic Landmark designation.
I second.
All right, we will go to a vote. Commissioner Bozeman?
Yes. Yes. Excuse me.
That's quite all right. Commissioner Honestad?
Yes.
Vice Chair Krueger?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
And Chair Beal?
Yes.
All right, congratulations. Staff will be in touch with you, Ms. Block, about the next steps and ultimately the presentation of a plaque. So congratulations.
Congratulations.
And very
congratulations
well deserved
to the interns.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to everybody.
Great
thank
job, you. Everyone.
You're welcome. Wonderful job. Wonderful.
All right. Chair Beal, would you like me to read the next line item?
Yes.
All right. Regular session agenda item number 2 is discussion review of the Cultural Heritage Preservation Plan, element number 5, undeveloped areas of the town, in an effort to assist staff in setting a priority to list, in setting a priority list to come back to commission at a later date.
Okay. So Mr. Golden was to discuss this, who has resigned from the commission. And I'd like to suggest that this topic, we table it, that will come up around December. And at that time, we may bring in the town planning department to give us further advice on this.
Okay. With that, I think we can move on then to the next line item. Next regular session agenda item number 3 is presentation and discussion of the priority list from the Cultural Heritage Preservation Plan.
Ms. Delaman, you have the floor.
Yes. Okay. So each of you reported on a topic area, and there were now 2 items that weren't reported on. However, we, meaning Chair Beal and I, discussed a priority order as a result of those discussion items that we did have, and that's why he mentioned December for the underdeveloped areas. If you scroll down to the staff report, you'll see that we have one topic a month so that we can dig in deep. And so we have Steam Pump Ranch to bring back next month. In June, we will bring back historic neighborhoods. And so further the discussion like we had today, although that doesn't mean that somebody who you know, request their home go on the registry, that they have to wait until we've had that discussion. We'll continue with this process now that we've begun it. But as far as a deep dive into the wording, we'll bring that up in June. And then we do have a break in July and August. So we have Honeybee Village to come back in September. And one of the reasons why we want those three topics taken care of prior to number four, which happens in October, and that's the public participation and heritage education, is because there may be some impact from those earlier discussions on that particular topic. And then the town history and records in November, and underdeveloped areas of the town in December. So that was the priority as set by staff and your chair. And it doesn't mean that some things might not alter slightly, but that was the order that we came up with. So I think that that's just a presentation and discussion. So is there any discussion on that?
I have a question. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Good evening, everyone. Mm-hmm. Since I'm new, so July and August, HPC, there are no meetings?
No, we take a break.
Okay.
And something that that I did want to let you know also is that in June we have a historic preservation conference for all of Arizona that they likely will have a link to. So I'll bring that up in my department report. I'm sorry, I forgot. I got off key.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Delliman. Mr. Lau, the next item, please.
Next on the agenda is department update.
Okay, so now I'll tell you that. I'm sorry. So we usually break right after the Arizona Historic Preservation Conference. Last year it was all online, and I believe this year that they're doing both an online link and, you know, some people may choose to be in person. So I will be sending that information out shortly. And then we take that 2-month break that we just talked about with Commissioner Bozeman. So I will be providing more information here in the next month or so on that. Also, as mentioned by Linda Snow, we do have homes in the Suffolk Hills area that are interested in being on the local registry. That is not the only Lusk neighborhood in the town. We also have the Shadow Mountain Estates, which are also Lusk homes, and of the proper time frame, the groundwork, however, was done completely by, or a whole lot of it was done by the two interns for the Suffolk Hills neighborhood, which will help that neighborhood go quickly and smoothly. Another area that we will eventually try to dig into a bit will be the Oro Valley Country Club. For those of you that have been around a little while, you know that the difficulty with that particular neighborhood is that there are many of the homes that no longer know who their architect was or who their builder was, and those records were destroyed in a flood in Pima County many, many, many years ago before the town was incorporated. So there was a issue brought up in one of the council meetings that happened during the month of March that some of you may have sat in on or listened on or heard some of the conversation around. And that is that an individual said that they had heard that there was a Hohokam burial discovered in the Oro Valley Heritage Highlands golf course, and that it was reburied near where the current country club for that Heritage Highland golf course is. Through a large amount of research, which included talking to the Tohono O'odham Nation, SHPO, the SWCA, which is the archaeological organization that did all the work in those days, as well as the Arizona State Museum, who was required to be involved in all repatriations. That was a rumor and not correct. So if you do hear that or anybody asks you questions about it, I have those quotes straight from the individuals who can tell you that that definitely was not the case. Then physical work on the garage is to begin this month. So we should be seeing that very shortly. And then finally, the flyer was attached to this report, to the department report that we are utilizing for our Celebrate Oro Valley. I did give you all a rundown of what is taking place. We're really excited about those elements. So Monday is arts. So each day that they will hit the town's Parks and Recreation Facebook page at 10 a.m. from Monday through Friday. That's the 19th through the 23rd of this month. So the 19th through the 23rd, daily posts at 10 a.m. The first one is art and culture, and we have both a virtual tour of the public art throughout Oro Valley starting. We'll do it one post a month, but starting with the RAM that's in front of the Hilton El Conquistador. And we also have a craft for children, and they can pick up the project pieces at the community center anytime. And there will be a how-to video, but artist A. Jane Hicks created a horse head of Picasso. That's a famous Mustang. You can Google it, but it's beautiful. This is her third horse, or like one time it was a cow, that she's created for the youth in our community to create a stick horse from as part of our Celebrate Oro Valley. So she goes way, way back. It was even before, her first one was before it was called Celebrate Oro Valley. And we have science and technology, and we will highlight the veterinarian school across the street from Steam Pump Ranch, as well as the Phenology Trail program, which is a way that citizens can get involved in monitoring what our drying environment has done to the plants and animals in our area. We also have in our sports and recreation area, a oral history with Hank Lieber's family. So John and Cheryl Lieber were the last residents to live on Steam Pump Ranch. And John's dad, Hank Lieber, was a professional baseball player. Many of the stories about Steam Pump Ranch have to do with this particular family. And a lot of the fun stories have to do with this particular individual. So we will hear from his son and daughter-in-law some of the stories about Hank, and then the legacy that it's continued to hold with the remainder of the Lieber family. And then the landscape and wildlife, we will highlight that particular pillar on Earth Day, and with an interview and slideshow or video presentation from the Coalition for Sonoran Desert Protection. They're the ones that built that wonderful bridge just north of Oro Valley on Oracle Road. And I think I said this last month, but I was amazed to hear that that bridge not only saves animals, but it saves human lives as well. Because if you're not hitting a deer, your life is saved as well as the life of the deer. So that was a new concept for me. And I think it's a nice thing to hear that not only are we saving human lives, but also the animals. And then finally, we have a wonderful wrap up by the mayor, who will talk about a few of the projects that will be moving into the coming year. And it'll be a great video as well. And that is our leadership and direction pillar, or our final day, Friday. So if anybody has any questions on that, that is kind of our big highlight of history in Oro Valley, and history moving forward too. all things new as well. And we get to highlight that in our shop. So that's kind of exciting. If anybody has any questions on anything from my report.
I do.
Lynette, I think that department update is just an update. Just a report. No discussion. Okay. So
I did this last month.
That's all right.
We'll talk separately, Commissioner. Okay, go ahead, Brandon. Sorry.
That's all right. Dan, go ahead.
thank you, Mrs. Delliman. That was a really great update. Mr. Lau, the next item, please.
Yeah, next on the agenda is future agenda items.
Okay, the Historic Preservation Commission may bring forth general topics for future meeting agendas. Discussion must be limited to clarification. Commission members, do we have any items to add to a future agenda?
I'd like to ask a question because I don't know if it needs to be on an agenda or if it should wait until October when we talk about public outreach. But I know in previous years, they've had the fourth grade writing contest. And I hadn't heard that was happening, and I'm assuming that's partly due to COVID, but I would be interested in learning about that and discussing that for future years. And so I don't know if that should be an agenda item for the next meeting or not.
You know, Brandon, I did forget to put that in my department report. Can I give a report on that very quickly?
I'm not the lawyer, but the lawyer's shaking his head, so let's do it.
Okay. All right. So we did do a contest this year. The problem is because of COVID, I got no results. And so I would like to send an email, meaning nobody turned anything in. And I went back to the school district several times. So I did speak to some parents of some fourth grade students, and I know some homeschool families. I could send that out and we could do a very delayed reaction. I would like to send an individual note to each of you and find out what you would like me to do, because it's either that or we wait till next year. We can't make a decision now because it's not a decision topic, but I would like some feedback. We can even wait until May to get that feedback, and it can be something that we award the beginning of next year. At any rate, I do apologize for not letting you know, but we did not get any results, and that's it. And we had great questions, so we can just wait till next year if we want.
And what month does that usually, when do you usually reach out to the school system, the schools?
We usually do that. We wrap it up with rodeo break, and we usually send it out shortly after the beginning of the school year.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, seeing no further business, I would like to make a motion to adjourn at 5:50 p.m. May I have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion taken. Thank you. Have a good evening.